If you turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Acts, this is the earliest beginnings, of the New Testament church. When they were filled with the Spirit and empowered by God's Spirit, when the evidence of what God's Spirit does, when He is poured out and empowers His church. And we've been looking at the fact of the preaching of this early church, the preaching of Peter right on the day of Pentecost. We found out that his preaching is in contrast to much of the preaching that goes on today. Peter was direct. He didn't mess around. Today our culture doesn't like that. Our culture does not want preaching that is direct. It's because of the culture in which we live. The preaching that we see that is Spirit-filled was biblically based. It wasn't made up out of the air like today. It was grounded in Scripture because Spirit-filled people, there is a ministry of God's Spirit, it says in 1 John, where the Holy Spirit teaches God's people through His Word, the truth of His Word, and it was biblically based. They knew that what happened with Jesus was not something coincidental, that it was part of the planning of God. They were able to anchor what they said to the Word of God. And we've told you again, preachers who preach with their Bible like this and do not what we would fancily call explain or exposit what the Word is saying and give you their opinion, blow them off. Ignore them. And that's 98% of most preaching today. But people like that because a preacher knows how to make people feel good. If you don't stick to the Word, you can make people feel really good. But the preaching here is direct. We also have seen that Peter fearlessly calls for action. And don't forget, 50 days before this, what had they done to the Savior? They killed him. By the way, it was the most brutal form of killing you could do. Crucifixion was what we would call shock, trauma. And it was done to trauma the populace. They would take an individual, beat that person, torture that person, and then hang them naked on a pole for the whole populace to see, with the trauma of saying, if you cross us, this will happen to you. It's what they do. And the chilling statement was, Jesus turned to Pilate and said, the hour and the power of darkness are yours. So imagine the brutality of what Jesus went through. And 50 days later, Peter's fearless, direct, filled with the Spirit. He's not politically correct. He's not culturally correct. He points his finger at him and says, you crucified him. You did it. And therefore he says, repent. So we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When you follow God's plan for Spirit-filled preaching, look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, the people were pierced to the heart, cut right through. So what cut them to the heart? Well, it was Spirit-filled preaching that was biblically based, that was direct, that called for an action, that was shown to be fearlessly presented. It was the work of God's Spirit, as man of God bases his preaching on the Word of God and not upon his own hot air thinking. And here is what they said in verse 37. This is the same group, a lot of these people 50 days ago had yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I want to go back there for a second because we're going to have to talk about baptism today. And it's going to help us. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew. And I want to remind us of 50 days ago, because to put this in the context of Peter's bold preaching and what was in the memory of these crowds that say, "What shall we do?" So go to Matthew 27, starting with verse 11. And I want to point out some things. What happened 50 days ago, which will put the context of 238 into where we need to understand it. Now Jesus stood before the governor, that is Pilate. Pilate questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, and here is what he said, "It's exactly as you say, yes I am." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, by the way, I want you to know something. You know what the greatest danger to the faith is? You ready for this? Organized religion. Notice it says the chief priests and elders. You want the greatest danger to the Christian faith? Organized religion. The more these religious groups gain power, the more they want control. And watch what happens here. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many are testifying against you?" But Jesus didn't answer a word. And the governor was amazed that Jesus didn't attempt to defend himself. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the multitude one prisoner whom they wanted. Now, let me explain that. The Romans and Israel did not get along. The Israelis believed that they should control the world and not the Gentile Romans. They were the chosen people. How dare these dogs control their country? And they were constantly rebelling against Rome. They had what we call dagger men that would melt into a crowd. Jewish revolutionaries. By the way, one man's terrorist is another person's hero. And the revolutionaries were called, are you ready? The dagger men. And they would melt into a crowd. And they dressed just like their fellow Jews, but underneath they had this nice, curved, sharp as a razor knife. And they'd sneak up to Roman soldiers, quietly take out that knife that they were hiding under their clothing and cut their throats and wander off into the crowd. This created great tension between the Romans with the Jews because they were constantly doing, rebelling constantly. So Rome would put soldiers in the city to keep the peace. What do you think the Romans thought about the dagger men? What do you think the Romans would call them? What do you think the Jews would call their dagger men? There you go. It depends on whose ox is gored. Anyway, it got so bad that Romans and Jews were killing each other. Happened a lot. As a matter of fact, somewhere in the gospel it said that Pilate mingled the blood of some Jews with their sacrifices because they were always cutting Roman soldiers' throats. So after a while, Pilate got an idea. Well, maybe I could appeal to these people. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll release a prisoner for them and see if that will make these people happy. Nothing makes these people happy. So they developed a custom among the governors that the Jews were given at Passover the opportunity to ask for one Jewish, what would you call it if you were Jews, hero. What if, would you call it if you were the Romans? Terrorist. They would let one go. By the way, what do you think the British called George Washington? What do you think we called them? Founding fathers. Sorry, I always think outside the box, and that gets me into trouble when I do so. But I want to look at both sides of this issue. So they said, we'll release. And that's what they're going to do. And so he gives them two people, Jesus and the most scuzzbucket prisoner you could offer. He was guilty of theft and murder. And by the way, do you know what Barabbas means in Aramaic? You ready for this? Son of the Father. Do you see the irony here? They stand Barabbas, who he means in Aramaic, son of the Father. What was Jesus saying? I am the Father. And the nation has a choice between the true son of the Father and a murderer and a thief. And Pilate probably did it deliberately. Normally, which would you choose? A man that healed people, that loved and showed compassion, or would you want a thief and a robber and a murderer? Now look what it says. Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you? I have this notorious prisoner called Barabbas or Yeshua. For he knew that because of envy they delivered him up. Now, jealousy. I don't know what your says, but in Matthew that word means in Greek, jealousy. I just said something that should have shocked you. I said organized religion is the most dangerous threat to the faith. Who was jealous? It wasn't the Romans. It was the chief priests and the Pharisees that had delivered Jesus up. Why? They were jealous. Why would they be jealous of Jesus? Because the people loved Jesus. Jesus was a man of the poor people, a man of the people. The chief priests and the Pharisees were the rich. If I were a rich man, yada, yada. Remember that? My kids did Fiddler on the Roof for the theater thing. Organized religion was jealous because Jesus had reached the heart of the people. The only trouble is the crowd will turn on you like that. And while he was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent a note to him. Don't do anything to that righteous man, for I suffered greatly in a dream. Ooh. But look at verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes. By the way, that's the crowd. That's the poor people that loved Jesus. That's the poor people that he healed. That's the poor people that he fed. But the organized religion, anytime you see chief priests and elders, just put that organized religion in there. And they persuaded the people to ask for a murderer and a robber whose name was what? Son of the Father. Boy, the irony that is in the New Testament. And the governor said, which one do you want to release? And they said, Barabbas. Why did the people do that? Because organized religion, people are easy to manipulate. And organized religion has learned very well. We're going to see that in baptism today. Organized religion knows how to manipulate people. And they take and they want Barabbas over Jesus. Which of those do you want me to release? Verse 21. And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is the Messiah? And they all said, what?
Crucify him.
How many said it? Now you just set the stage for what we need to discuss in 2:38. And then look at what they said in verse 25. You want the most chilling words in the New Testament? After Pilate said, if that's what you want, I'm innocent of this man's blood, but we have a custom because there's always trouble with you people. Okay. And then look what they said in verse 25. His blood be upon us and our children. You know what I call that? Cold. His blood be upon us and our children. And they took a murderer and a thief. And Jesus had done nothing wrong. You talk about a satanic thing. Now let's go back to Acts 2:38. Now you understand a background of why Peter is going to do what he's going to do, and to understand baptism. They were pierced through in verse 37, right? 50 days ago, what had these people said? Crucify him! We want Barabbas! Let his blood be upon us and our children. We want to see him die slowly. But now, with Spirit-filled preaching, Peter's told him, you crucified him, you need to what? The word repent means you need to change your mind and have some sorrow for what you did. And only God's Holy Spirit can do that. Then he says something to them which places baptism in the context. And he said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. Now everybody gets scared here at this point. Is Peter preaching that you need to be baptized to be saved? What did I tell you as Christians? What's the most dangerous force for you as a Christian? Thank you. You say, well, Dave, isn't your church organized? No, we're disorganized. Believe me. We're small, we're little, and we're disorganized, and no one pays attention to this. The greatest enemy who persuaded the crowd was organized religion. If you've been hurt by organized religion, it's because most organized religion, Satan is behind it. How do you like that? Do I have to go into the pedophile scandals? By the way, we're going to have a lady coming to speak. Aren't we, Candace? Going to speak about... Tell them a little bit about this, that what your friend wants to do, and I want them to know about it.
She's part of the Christian filmmaking organization, and they did a movie called Amy, and it's about children trafficking. And they were trying to get funding, and they decided Manchin was with his producer and the director, and decided to use the As soon as he decided that, God started opening all these doors to people, Christians in the industry that were interested in me. So she's going to come and give a talk. She's done extensive research and helped many people in the field of trying to rescue these children.
But what do you think a lot of organized religion has been doing with children? Have you heard it? Well, we would expect, and forgive me for interrupting, I'd expect the government to be evil. Every time I owe taxes, I think about that. But organized religion is involved in this. What's the greatest enemy of God's people? Organized religion. So here we have this context in which 50 days ago, this group called for the killing of Jesus, his blood be upon us, and they saw the one of the worst killings, cruel killings. And that's why the word baptism is brought up. Let's talk about baptism. Organized religion tells you this. You need to be baptized with our group or it doesn't count. We're going to go to Acts chapter 6 and it's going to be Philip. And the Holy Spirit's going to drop him off in the middle of the desert with an Ethiopian eunuch. He talked like this, the Ethiopian. Ah, that's a joke. Anyway, you'd have to understand that one. I'm going to get in trouble for my preacher's sense of humor. By the way, Daniel was a eunuch. So if you think, Daniel, hello there, Nebuchadnezzar. It's, hi, Nebuchadnezzar, how are you? You know, that's the way, you know, it happens. Anyway. Out in the middle of the desert, under no auspices, Peter tells him, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, Acts chapter 6. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, can I be baptized? Peter says, sure. No organized religion. No, nothing. Let me tell you what baptism is. This is what, in the New Testament, baptism is. Baptism is public, are you ready? Public identification. It is not what you often have been told by organized religion. It does not wash away your sins. As a matter of fact, in Acts, we're going to find out that every time, Acts will always preach, you're saved by grace through faith. We'll get to those in a little bit. But what's going on here is, 50 days ago, what had a lot of these people cried out? Crucify him! His blood be upon us. What's Peter want? He wants their repentance. How would they publicly show their repentance that's already happened? How would you show your repentance publicly? Because that's all baptism is. I don't care what church you're in, if you've been baptized, that nowhere does that wash away your sins. There are some churches, and I'll name some. If you don't get baptized in their church, here we go. You know, Pastor Dave's always in trouble. This is the life I lead. And as Michael Corleone said in The Godfather, this is the business we have chosen. Okay? So I'm always in trouble. Church of Christ will tell you, my wife will tell you, if you're not baptized, she wasn't, but somebody asked her to come. And they teach, if you're not baptized with the Church of Christ, it doesn't count. Pits of hell. What is baptism? Peter is calling upon those who publicly went against Jesus to do what? Publicly what? Identify publicly with Jesus. So when you're baptized, it doesn't get you forgiven. Repentance, faith, which leads to repentance, is what saves you. For by grace you are through faith. And that, not of yourself, not by... Okay. But what Peter is wanting is, when you say, brethren, what must we do? I'll tell you what you need to do, Peter said. You need to get up in front of the whole nation. In front of the whole nation. We'll come back to this with a tub of water. And in front of the whole city of Jerusalem, you now show your repentance. You now show that you mean it. You publicly identify with the man that you killed. Do you realize the courage that would have taken? Because everybody in that crowd would have been aware of how brutally Jesus was killed. If you were part of that crowd, you know, mob justice, you got to be careful with the mob. That's why I won't preach to please people, because the moment you please people, they'll turn on you in a dime. We've had people come into this church, oh, so glad to be here, and within just a few weeks have turned on a dime. I've learned that I can't preach to please people. But if you had been a part of that, that would have been so brutal, and then you said, brethren, what must we do? Well, Peter's telling them this. I want you to do a ceremony. I want you to get up publicly in front of the city of Jerusalem. And we're going to picture that you have identified with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, and you make that public testimony in front of a hostile nation that hated him. What would, if they did be baptized in that way, what would that prove? That they had repented, that they had sorrow for what they did, and that they now identified with Jesus. So what's baptism about? It's merely an outward symbol of public identification with Jesus. That's it. There are groups, Church of Christ, there are groups, Romanist groups. I get myself in trouble, I know. But they will tell people, if the Romanist church doesn't baptize you, it doesn't count. So if some of you were former Roman Catholics, the good news is, if you were baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, apparently they think that you've made it. But that's not what baptism is about. There is no organized religion that saves through baptism. You can be Baptist, Church of Christ, Romanist, you name it. They will try to tell you, by the way, here you go. If you go to a church and they say, we have some sacraments here. Do you know what the word sacrament means? It means that they believe that by them performing the service to you of dunking you or sprinkling you or whatever you want, some poor, that they have officially, because their organized religion effected your salvation. That's from the pits of hell. But you see, that's how organized religion controls people. If you look at organized religion, they have to maintain control of the thinking of the people. And that's how they maintain their power. For by controlling the people, they maintain their power. It's a psychological operation. There is not one denomination on this earth that has any power in their baptismal waters to affect salvation in that. That's a lie from the pits of hell. What affected salvation was Jesus Christ on the cross and you saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, Lord, to show you that I am repentant and that I have trusted you, I want to make a public identification with you to people of what you've done spiritually. You've caused me to be... Somebody read 1 Corinthians 12:13. Who's got it? Who will read it? 1 Corinthians 12... Willie Baradas! Would you do that for me, Willie? I think it's 1 Corinthians 12:13. Wait, let me make sure I'm not having... Wait, let me make sure... Go ahead. That's it.
1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit.
Look, water is merely a symbol, a physical symbol of what God did for you when you were placed into his body of believers. When God forgives you on the basis of Jesus' work, his spirit places you within the body of Christ, his church. And it's the spirit that baptizes. But how would we picture spirit baptism, where you're identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? How would you picture that? Well, the early church had this ceremony that they would do of what God had already done. When you believe in Jesus, He places you into the Messiah, into His death, burial, and resurrection, that you're a new creature in Christ. And then, to show what's happened, you make a public identification of what has already happened, and that's the water baptism. That's it. But here's what organized religion will do to you. Stay away from it. They will tell you, well, it has to be with our group. Here's what I would say to some priest or preacher. Show me chapter and verse. They will not, it will be their tradition. Oh, we're the only true church of God. Do you have a certificate that you could show me that God signed for that? See, this is the evil of organized. Who killed Jesus? And the fundamentalists. There I go. There you go, Dave. You already there. You hit those fundamentals. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith here. We really do. But have you ever noticed the culture of fundamentalist Christians at times? Don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with those who do. Can't do this, can't do that. Fundamentalist Christianity as a culture is absolutely cruel, lacks compassion, and is unkind. I'm around it all the time. I can smell it miles away. And it happens that God's people quickly go from a local body of believers into organized religion that want to control people. It happens. And your greatest enemy. How many times have I had people come to our church saying, I was in this denomination and they were horrible? Well, that's because organized religion is what? Here again, it's the enemy of God's people. The closer you get to it, the more they're going to want to control you and get away from the grace of God into, you have to be with us or you're not saved. That's from the pits of hell. So what is Peter doing here? This mob had yelled 50 days ago, what? Kill him! As a matter of fact, kill him in the most cruel way. And his blood be upon... You can just see that, by the way, it was Satan that took over these people. When Jesus told Pilate the hour and the power of darkness of the earth, ooh, that's chilling. So how would you correct what you did 50 days ago? So Peter is saying, well, you say you've believed and you say you repent. All right, I'm from Missouri. Show me. We're going to bring a tub of water. We're going to set it right here. And you're going to publicly, symbolically identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the one you say you now believe. Doing that didn't save them. What it was showing was that they were witness, public testimony witness, that they had placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, those who did in that day and time, John talked about it. Jews who believed in Jesus, John said in his gospel, Jesus warned that if you believe in me, they will take you out of the synagogue. Now let me tell you something. In that day, Jewish people did not associate with Gentiles. Everything to them was the synagogue. And you had your whole life in the synagogue. As a matter of fact, I've told my people on Wednesday night that the synagogue rabbi could literally whip you if you didn't behave. That's on the agenda for Tuesday night about whip. So please come to object. No, I'm kidding. The rabbi, all the way through till modern day, could whip their people, and if the people got caught in doing things they shouldn't, do you know what the whole crowd, if with the rabbi's approval, could do? And the Gentile governments would look the other way. You know what they could do? Stone each other. Jesus said there's going to come a day when if you identify with me, they're going to kill you. Jesus said, if you don't identify with me now, I will be ashamed of you when I return. So Peter's calling their bluff. Some of them were genuinely repentant, okay? Peter is saying, if you're genuinely repentant, I want you to get into the tub we're going to put here, and I want you to make public identification with Christ that shows that you've put your trust in Him. The baptism didn't save. What was the baptism showing? They had already been saved, and they were willing to publicly identify with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're dealing with here. So we go back. For the promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off. Who are you and your children? The Jewish nation that had rejected their Messiah. And guess who those who are far off are? And Ephesians tells us very clearly that those who are far off have been brought what? Not only near, but it says we've been made fellow heirs of citizenship with the nation of Israel. We've been made equal through what Jesus did. He broke the middle wall of partition. There is no more distinction. Christ made them one. So for you who are far off, for as many as shall call upon the name of God, He will save. And with many other sensitive, kind, loving words, verse 40, He solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, be saved from what? By the way, crooked. It's the word scolia in Greek, and I don't usually mention words, but have you ever had scoliosis in your spine? You ever heard of the scoliosis in your spine where you have a crooked spine? Peter is so spirit-filled, he's totally undiplomatic. He says, you see this crooked generation that did what they did to Jesus? You need to get into that pot of water and identify with Him if you're truly repentant. And guess what Jesus said would happen to them if they did identify with Jesus Christ? The day they went back to the synagogue, guess what would happen to those precious people? The rabbi would say, let's stone him. Or the rabbi would say, even the parents were told, if your child identified with Christ or your mother or your father, you cannot have anything to do with that family member anymore. Imagine for some of you who followed Jesus and then your family, mother, father, rejected you. That's what happened. For their following of Jesus Christ. This is a crooked generation. And look what happens in verse 41. Preach direct, preach biblical, call for action, be fearless, don't be politically correct, tell them to repent. Look what it says in verse 41. So then, those who received His word, those who received, that means some walked away. I'm not going to be baptized. They'll kill me. Yeah, they would too. Because organized religion is what? The enemy of the faith. And as many as received the word, which means that there were some that didn't, were baptized. What were they? Publicly identified with Christ. That didn't save them, but it sure made a decisive testimony. Have you ever heard that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. That's exactly what they were doing. And notice what happens at this altar call. And there were added that day, how many? All were baptized. Can you imagine? I'm a germaphobe. Did they dump the water out for each person or did they all get in the same soup? Soup, ooh, sorry. Fresh water. Anyway. So now you know what baptism is. It doesn't save you. Only organized religion will tell you you need their baptism. Ha! Find a river. Get a bunch of people and say, I want to identify with Jesus Christ. Dunk yourself to publicly identify. You don't need... By the way, we're all saints. You don't need some preacher. You'd be shocked that you can get your license for... You want to be a preacher? Just get your license online. You want a doctorate? $350, you can get your PhD. Trust me, don't do it the hard way. Anyway, I better quit. Organized religion, the greatest enemy of the people. God saves you by His grace. Baptism merely identifies with what God has done.